Today, as we celebrate this great feast of our Lord's Transfiguration, we recognize in this there is a clear indication of his divinity, and also there is the point of what the resurrection is going to be like. In other words, to see the glorified body of our Lord gives a hint to us of what our bodies one day will look like, assuming that we go the right direction. At the same time, what we hear from St. Peter is something that's very important, and it's very important especially in our day. St. Peter talks about the fact that they were on the mountain. They heard the voice come down from heaven. And he said, but even more sure is the prophetic witness. In other words, right now we have lots and lots of people that are claiming to hear something from Jesus and Mary or whomever it may be. But we have the scriptures. We have the Word of God. We know for a fact that the Word of God is divinely inspired. And we know that every single thing that is in the Word of God is going to come to pass exactly as the Lord said it's going to. In our humanness, of course, we like to have some idea of what it is that God wants for me right now and so on. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is then we start looking for someone who's going to tell us. And the devil is more than happy to provide all those kinds of things. If you want something extraordinary, he'll provide something extraordinary. That's why we need to make sure that we stick with what we know absolutely. If the church has approved an apparition, you can believe it. You don't have to, but you can. In other words, even if the church has said something like Fatima or Lourdes or one of the apparitions of Our Blessed Lady, and the church approves it and says this is worthy of belief, you still do not have to believe it, because it's not divinely inspired. It is not something that is necessary for our salvation. And so if Joe Schmo is claiming to hear something from Jesus or Mary, you absolutely, definitely, positively do not have to believe one single word of it. It may be that our Lord or our Lady is speaking to somebody. It may be that they're not. When you got everybody and their brother and sister claiming to be hearing or seeing something these days, you got to believe that 99% of it is a bunch of nonsense. People want to hear something. The devil will do it, or they'll do it for themselves. And so we need to be so very careful. One thing that you can think about is the simple question of, how many private apparitions do we know all about? Oh, this one's saying this and that one's saying that, and oh, I know all of these things. Okay, we're spending hours and hours reading and listening to and watching all of these things. How much time have you spent with Scripture? That's the Word of God. That is an absolute, that is complete, total, 100% absolute truth. We want to run around listening to somebody that we don't know is necessarily speaking the truth. It doesn't mean that they're intentionally lying to us. They're not, I don't assume. But we don't know where they're getting their information from. We know the sacred scriptures are the Word of God. So at this point, of course, what happened on Mount Tabor is in sacred scripture. So what St. Peter was talking to the people at the time that he wrote his letter, that wasn't part of scripture. So he's saying, okay, look, I can tell you about what happened on the mountain, but we have the prophetic witness, and that's something far, far greater and far more assured. And that's what we still have. So as we look at what our Lord is doing as we celebrate the Transfiguration. Yes, he showed his apostles a prefiguration of what will be in the resurrection. He allowed them to see a little hint of his divinity. And what a glorious thing. But for us now, as we go through the times that we're living in, it's to be able to look at that transfiguration and look at what God is doing with us. One day, provided again that we are going the right direction, that's what our bodies are going to be looking like when they rise from the dead and are reunited with our souls. In the meantime, the way that St. Paul describes it, he said, we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. That's what God is doing with us in our situation now. We are his sons and daughters. He is working to make us saints. And there is no such thing as a saint who didn't have to suffer and go through all the trials and difficulties and so on that are required. So for us, it's just built right in. It's such a blessing to be able to be alive right now where everything is set up to make us saints. Now granted, everything is also set up to make us go the opposite way, which means there's not going to be, as I keep saying, nobody's going to be in the middle. You're either going to be a saint or you are going to be a sinner that is going to be pretty horrible. Because everything is there to give in to every single sinful inclination that you want. At the same time, as long as that's there, everything is all set up so that if we can reject those things, we can grow in virtue, we can grow in holiness, we can become saints. That's what God is doing with all this. So rather than getting frustrated and upset with all that's going on in the world, we should be rejoicing. Because we are being made saints. We are being made holy. We are being transformed into Jesus Christ, into true holiness, from one degree of glory to the next. That's what God is going to do with our circumstances in life. And so, as we look at this glorious day of the Transfiguration, it shines in the darkness as a beacon of hope. Or if you even look at St. Mark's Gospel, the way that it's written, Transfiguration comes rather early. And it's like a light, and then you put the cross right in front of it. And the cross is like a shadow then, but the light shining against it. That's what the Transfiguration does. We're living in the shadow. But it's the shadow of the cross. Yeah, there's a lot of evil that's lurking in the darkness. But if we can understand what it is, it's the reason why we can see it is because the light is there. The Transfiguration always stands as that beacon of hope and of light for us. So we know our Lord's divinity. We know the glory of his resurrection. But we also know that that is exactly what he is preparing us for. As his own sons and daughters, God is making us into saints so that one day our body, old brother donkey that's right here in the pew, is going to rise from the dead. And if we go to heaven, our body is going to be glorified just like the body of our Lord Jesus. That was the prefiguration that the apostles were given. That was given to them to strengthen them so that they could remain faithful in the difficulties that they were going to face. It remains the same for us. We're living in difficult times. The grace of God is there in an extraordinary way. And the Transfiguration stands for us as a beacon of hope and a promise of what will come.